Hey gang, welcome back. Today we have our first guest host, one of the founders of our fantasy IPL, Legal B here. We'll talk about why the league's been so fun all these years, what we think about the IPL this year, and answer that age-old question. Would you rather be a virtual fan or a Gujarat girl? Let's have some fun. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're doing something a little bit different today. Wit, as he said, he is out of town. He's in Iceland with the old lady. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not going to ask. But we have brought in Wit's words, a newer, sexier version of Wit. My good friend Brett is here to guest host.
And it was you and Eric and I, and we started with six people in our league?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. They're all work colleagues of ours, and I don't think anybody was really that interested other than you, me, and Eric, who are still in the league.
Yeah, and the first, did we all get together? Was it just you and Eric and I for like a kickoff party or draft party, and nobody knew what we were doing?
Nobody knew how it was scored. I remember the first game that we watched, it was like the score was incomprehensible to us. And I had to call a friend because I knew he worked with another friend of mine whose number I didn't have, who was all about Indian cricket. He was from India. And he had to explain to us even who was winning. Like, if you watch a basketball game, right? It's like the score is 56 to 47. It's like, okay, well, the team with 56 is winning. But the score was like 52 and three overs and six wickets, and it just didn't make any sense. Like, what do these numbers even mean?
I still sometimes, like, if I don't get to watch a game and I just look at Google and it says Punjab won by 4 wickets, I'm like, was that good? Did they barely win? Or was that like a slaughter? I sometimes don't know.
But really, it comes down to, in my mind, the more important stat is how many overs it is. So if you like catch the other team, and if you can do it in like the 16th over, that seems great. But like, if you get it on the last ball, but you have 5 wickets left, like, the wickets seem pretty pointless.
It doesn't matter as much in that case. Isn't it that if the chasing team wins, it's by wickets, and if the first team out wins, it's by runs? Because if the chasing team wins, they're always going to win by 1 run, or at most, I guess, 5 runs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of meaningless. It'd be more important, did they do it with just 2 batters or with 10 batters?
I feel like we are hosting a fantasy IPL podcast and probably should know this answer.
No, we are hosting a fantasy podcast. We're not hosting a cricket podcast. That was one of the things that, like, when Whit and I were... first writing out the first episode, we were like, we want to make it very clear, we're not experts in cricket. We don't know every in and out in cricket. So we're going to try not to delve too much into, you know, oh, it was mid-wicket off-leg googly.
I think it is pretty incredible how many players we know, how many stats we know, and how many rules we know.
Just through laws. Sorry, he meant laws.
Excuse me. How many laws we know? But 3-4 seasons in. What? How many seasons are we in?
This is our fourth season.
Our fourth season in. Yeah. I feel like I know quite a bit that I could go to a bar in Kolkata and talk to some Loki about cricket and hold my own.
Yeah, I remember you. After like 2 seasons, we talked about if you went to Kolkata or if you went to India. And you were at a bar, and one player who was, let's say, in the top 50 scoring in IPL, fantasy, walked into the bar. What are the chances you'd recognize that person? And at the time, I said, I think if Kohli walked in, Virat Kohli walked in, I'd probably recognize him. And this is assuming that, of course, the crowd doesn't just, like, go crazy when he walks in and start taking pictures of him. But now I feel like there's a decent chance I'd recognize, like, a couple dozen players.
Okay, so if you were in a bar,
like, I would recognize
in Bangalore,
okay, Bengaluru, as they call it on the map,
and V. Kohli walked in, what level of confidence would you have to be like, oh, hey, it's V. Kohli in a bar full of presumably Indian people? And you're like 96% confident it's going to be holy, 97% confident. At what confidence interval? And if you're a statistician listening to this, I understand that doesn't make sense. But at what confidence percentage would you have to have for you to go out there and be like, hey, be holy, and not fear backlash of like,
oh,
that's not me.
Well, it would depend on how many drinks I'd had, of course. I also hope that whoever, if it was or was not him, I hope I don't refer to him as V. Coley. Call him either Coley or Mr. Coley or
serve their ride.
Because I bet only fantasy players call him V. Coley. Because that's how he shows up.
I bet only U.S. fantasy players in a league called North American Scum.
Yeah.
Call him V. Coley.
For those who don't know, our home league is called North American Scum because, well, it's a song. Good song, if you ever want to listen to a good song. But because we kind of feel like we're not plugged in.
We're out of our depth.
Yeah, we all live in the U.S. But, so, right now, let's see, we're in our fourth season. Brett, are you at the top of the league or is Wit?
No, I'm like 600 points above Wit. But I used a booster. I think sans booster, Wit and I would be pretty neck and neck, although I have used maybe seven or eight more transfers than he has.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about that I thought about when you did it, you used your booster. It was an Indian booster, mm-hmm. which that one is the one that I'm the most excited about. Because I think the whole team booster, we've done it before. For years, that's been there. The overseas booster, I think, is pretty easy because it's just four overseas players. And most matches, you can find four pretty good overseas players.
Or just get the match that has Joss Butler in it.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't even matter for the player. Other. Like, yeah, yeah, pick a couple other ones.
And then the 3X seems like a pretty personal thing. Like, it doesn't make that big of a deal. Like, it's just one player gets an extra 1X to what you'd be
for captain. But you still get your captain and your vice captain.
Yeah.
So really your 3X is kind of like another super captain.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, personally, right? If you're Eric, yeah, you're going to pick Dre Russ. And
right, right.
If you're
right.
anyone else, you're going to pick Joss Butler.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you're me, you're going to pick DeJuan on the day that he scores 6 points. That's what
I'm saying. He's got a niggle.
Yes. Old DeJuan. That, by the way, if you watched, that was kind of a joke. I missed playing DeJuan for the first three matches where he scored, I think, like 50 points, 150 points, 200 points. I finally got him in my lineup, and he scored 15, I think, and then he scored zero. So that's what I've got so far.
Inexplicably, because the vernacular used in cricket, I think, is heavily influenced by England, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the excuse was that he had a niggle, which is not something that...
You don't hear that in the NFL too often.
Yeah. Yeah, if Dak Prescott is out, it's usually not because of a niggle. And we didn't really understand what to make of it. And frankly, had to Google what that was. And after Googling...
The Google a niggle.
Still didn't quite understand what it was.
No. No, but the Indian one, I the Indian booster, I think whenever there's a match where I'm like, I'm not setting my lineup last minute, I will actually go through and erase everyone from my lineup. And then let's say like tomorrow is Rajasthan and Gujarat play tomorrow. I will go through and just say, okay, what if I use the Indian booster on this one and then fill out my lineup as if I did to see how good it was. Because that one is different, and it seems like it's harder to do because like most teams have a couple really good Indian players, but then there's just so many as opposed to having like the overseas where there's like the three stars.
Yeah, and the overseas players per team, it's limited on how many you can have, and so you aren't going to have any overseas duds, right? If you have so many roster spots for overseas players, you're not going to get that. You know, middling players, you're going to get the stars. And so when you use the overseas booster, pretty much anybody who's on the squad is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of you don't get to pick that many.
So what if you, what I was thinking, let's say I played my overseas booster. I'm not looking, this is asking for a friend. If I played my Indian booster on the Rajasthan versus Gujarat, do you think you would rather, because Rajasthan, that's who Joss Butler plays for. I think I would rather take 10 Indian players plus Joss Butler and make him my captain so he gets 2x also. Rather than play 11 players and the 11th one is some uncapped player who's scored an average of 8 points per match so far.
No, and that's why I picked the match that had Dewan, because Dewan's a stud and he's Indian. So I'm thinking you get a captain who's Indian, you get a vice captain who's Indian. So you want to pick the teams that have like the Indian rock stars. Because if you pick a whole squad of you know, pretty good Indian players, and then you put Joss Butler because you don't want to miss out on those points too when you make him captain, you know, he only gets you 2 points. But if you can find somebody who's a rock star who's also Indian, like Dewan, like I tried to do, and give him your captain, you know, he gets 2x. And then with your 2x again, basically he gets a 4x.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work out for me because Dewan didn't have the best match. But that was my thinking, is that I'd rather have 4x of somebody who's like great versus, and we keep on bringing up Joss Butler just because he scores a zillion runs every time.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, he's not going to score four times as many runs as Gill or a Dewan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where, I mean, that's where I guess I'm not thinking about Dewan. I'm thinking about you're filling 11 players. Who's the 11th one? The one that you're putting in there because you need that 11. You want to get it all 11. Because, of course, you do. You want to get as many points as you can with your booster. But, like, if that last one is, say, who's someone we've never heard of here? Urville Patel.
There's a lot of Patels.
Urville Redenbacher Patel. Would you rather put in him and get the 2x on this particular Patel or get 1x on Butler? Again,
in that situation, I just wouldn't make Butler my captain.
Yeah, you'd still go for the 4x on whoever the Indian star is.
Yeah, so I mean, let's say that if you assume Joss is going to score you, let's say, 80 points because he's going to get 50 runs, and I don't know how the boosters work or the points work out. You know, he hit 30 runs, you get a bonus. You hit 50 points, 50 runs, you get a bonus. But let's say you get 80 points for Joss, and you can double that up. That's 160. But let's suppose that you can get 50 points for somebody else, and he's your captain. You can double that up. You get 100. You can double that up again. You get 200. I think you want to go with an Indian star who's maybe not the best player in the match because you get 4x rather than 2.
I like the 4x. I mean, if you hit on that 4x, that's amazing.
I did not.
You did not. Who was your 4x?
Dewan.
Oh, it was Dewan? Was it the one recently that he... Not the zero.
It was not the zero, but it was the one that he got like 15. So sure, I got a 4X. I got 60 points out of him, which isn't terrible, but it's terrible if you're counting on a booster.
Now, if Dream 11 called you up because they heard this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm expecting they will.
Of course. And they asked you, Brent, do you prefer this year where you've got the overseas, the Indian, and then the standard boosters that's always been there. Or do you prefer last year with the positional boosters that were timed? Like you could last year, if you didn't play last year, they had boosters for, say, wicketkeepers. You get 2x on your wicketkeepers. But you had to play it between match 9 and match 13. Do you prefer how it is this year, or do you prefer the time boosters last year?
I think I actually prefer the time boosters last year. And the only reason is because picking your team sometimes to me feels like a crapshoot, and I think the case in point is Eric in our league.
Yeah.
That Eric watches as many games as you and me. He's as involved. He always hits his lineup. He doesn't have the red dots, but his luck just seems to be not good. So it's kind of a crapshoot because you can pay just as much attention and you can make selections that you, it seems like, are as good as anybody else, but there's always that variable. That's why people love sports, because you never know. And I think that the time sensitive boosters kind of give you that edge. Like when I'm playing board games, I hate the games that are all chance, like Chutes and Ladders. There's no skill, right? The deck is set.
Candyland.
And really, yeah, in Candyland, if you were able to look through the deck, you would know who would win the game because there's zero user input. And then there's other games where if you're a beginner, you're just going to get your ass kicked by the people who know what they're doing. And not even like knows what they're doing, just knows what they're doing a little bit more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the kind of games that like... the beginner can win, but somebody who knows what they're doing has an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And with those time-sensitive boosters, I think that kind of lends itself to that, right? Like, if you are involved and you're paying attention, you get an edge, but the beginner can still win.
Yeah. I also prefer the time-sensitive boosters. I wasn't a huge fan when they happened because I always thought a booster would just add more luck to it. Like, you just happen to
get the
right
guys
on that, right? Yeah. Which they introduced it last year, so there was more luck now. But I like the time. I actually like that now, too, because the other thing I like about it is there are so many matches that I could play my Indian booster on or play my overseas booster. And it's like, it is kind of a crapshoot. Especially, I think, the overseas or the 3X. You know, you could play
especially the 3X.
You could play it on Dewan. He's probably I think he's probably still the highest run scorer. You can play it on him. Just happen to get the day that he gets a duck. And it sucks because he's great every day until then. But with the timed boosters, it's like everybody kind of has to narrow in on that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes the luck out of it a little more. It seems like it does.
You can get an edge if you're paying attention.
Everyone has that same very, like there's four matches you can choose from. And so whoever's the one who's looking at it and saying, oh, KKR has a really good bowling lineup. I'm gonna play it on the KKR. And then of course KKR hits it and gets tons of wickets. That's what happened last year. There were like three of us who played it on that match, and it gave us a big boost. So, another question I had, looking at recently you played a match where you had 11 players or 10 players?
11, yeah.
11, and you didn't use a booster. How did you get there?
Yeah, so I noticed that in match 7, DC was playing. The Delhi Capitals, and then match 8, the Rajasthan Royals were playing. And those are two squads that I like having in my lineup because they typically score quite a few points, especially Rajasthan Royals. It seems like that's like the team to get you fantasy points with Joss and Samju Samson and Mike Chahal.
And listening now at match, what are we, match 20, mm-hmm. you might be thinking, oh, he thought the Capitals? What are you talking about? The Capitals are 0-5. But really, the Capitals last year were really good, and the Capitals the year before that were really good. So match 8?
Match 7 and match 8. Those two teams were playing, and I noticed that in match 11. So
on paper, that match, those two teams at the very beginning of the year are two great teams to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually maybe their second game playing.
Yeah.
And then just a few games or a few matches later, they're going head to head. So I noticed, you know, if in the DC Gujarat Titans match 7 match, if I loaded up on DC players and then in match 8 between the Rajasthan Royals and the Kings of Punjab, if I loaded up on the Royals players and then kind of floated two matches, you know, mm-hmm. not really played much in match 9 or match 10.
Yeah, just bare minimum.
I'd basically just have a full lineup for match 11 between those two squads, which really it paid off pretty well because the score was 199 and 4 wickets to 142 and 9 wickets. So a lot of wickets, a lot of runs, a lot of points, and it really worked out pretty well. I tried it again. Later on, I noticed that the Gujarat Titans were playing in 13 and the Kings of Punjab were playing in match 14 and then in match 18. So again, just a few matches reserved. I had basically a full lineup again. I think that's maybe when I used my booster even, my Indian booster.
You talked about using it when Punjab played. About Dewan.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different strategies. I was talking to Mark about this earlier. You know, you can you can have a lot of different strategies. I usually try to get out in front and then hold on at the end. Mark, the last few years, has, you know, kind of been hanging out in the wings, and then at the end of the season has a lot of transfers left over and comes on really strong.
I like to ride the transfers, just keep the transfer count low until the end, and then I like, and then in those last 20 or so matches, I feel like if there's somebody who I really want to play, I can just play him. I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's really worked out well, because what you said, Mark, you and I have been...
Yeah, what's the opposite of a humble brag?
Just an overt braggadocio.
So we've talked about in our home league, we have two trophies each year. We have the points trophy, or the league champion, whoever just scores the most points, whatever it says on the standings on Dream 11. And then we also do a playoffs, and whoever wins the playoffs, the second trophy. And these trophies are largely
not... provided by Mark?
Yep. Oh, well, I was going to say not real.
Free?
Because I haven't provided the trophies at the rate at which they've been won. But anyways, we have two. So 3 years, we've had six trophies. This is the overt brag, is that on this table, at this table right now, five of the six trophies belong to one of the two of us. Eric, we talked about Eric before with the terrible luck. I mean, I think his terrible luck is just making up for the fact that he won.
It was the first season, though. Nobody knew what they were doing.
Well, but do you remember he came in, like, that season, it was like, I'm making the numbers up here, but just for to give you an idea, it's like I had 12,000 points going in to the playoffs, and you had 11,500 points, and then Eric had like 2,800, and just won the playoffs. So I think his luck lately is just kind of karma balancing out.
But he's got his name on his trophy. It's etched into a cricket bat. And, it is. It counts.
It counts. Yep. And there's lots of room on that cricket bat for him to win in future years.
So. I was talking to Mark about this earlier. The strategies. I think, so we both have kids, and
true.
One of my supervisors previously at one of my jobs, we were talking about, you know, should I send my kids to private school? Should I send my kids to public school? What about like a religious school or homeschool? Or there's all these different school options. And his response was, just be involved. And I think that is the good advice for cricket fantasy as well. Is, you know, you can try to get out ahead and hold on. You can try to, you know, stay within striking distance and kick at the end. You can use your boosters in the beginning of the season, the end of the season. But really, you just need to stay involved throughout the whole year if you're going to want to have a chance.
Yeah, because your strategy was to get out in front and stay there. My strategy was to save the transfers and then roar back at the end. And really, I beat Brett in the championship game by like 60 points or something. And
over the whole season.
Yeah, over the whole season, right. I think we were less than 100 points apart. So any strategy can work as long as you're involved and you kind of know what you're doing. Speaking of that, I got one more question. Is there any team this year, we're 20-something matches in, about 20 matches in, is there any team that you're like, every time they play, I want to get as many in my lineup as possible. Yeah, it's still the Royals. Because the Royals were kind of that last year. Butler was the anchor for that team.
Well, and then Samson, he had that one match, I remember. It was early on. I think he had a century that game. It was last season. And the game was on the line.
Yeah.
And he hit a single. And there was one ball left. And he did not run. He told the other person, stay where you are. And it was, I think, if they had got that single, the other person, I don't remember who it was in the partnership, had to get a four to win the match. And if they didn't win, Samson had to get a six to win the match. Uh-huh. And his thought was, I'm getting a six, more likely than you're getting a four.
Yeah.
And he hit that single, and he just, you know, he planted his feet. He's like, no, I'm getting a six.
That's a very Doty move.
Mm-hmm. He did not get a six. I think he hit it, and it was like, I don't know, maybe a couple meters, because we're talking Indian cricket. We're going to say meters, mm-hmm. and not 10 feet.
Yeah, off wide leg.
Mm-hmm.
or something.
Well, it was like 3 meters within the boundary, and it was caught out. You know, he almost got it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Samson's a stud. We like to talk about Joss Butler, but Samson's pretty awesome, too. And then also Weishaupt is pretty awesome. So even if they aren't winning,
Hollywood,
they're getting you a lot of points.
Yeah, those three were like the holy trinity of cricket last year.
And they're all on the same team. Yeah. So when the Royals pop up, I like to play them. I wouldn't be surprised. Also, Mark, I'd like to get your input and your opinion of who was it? It was in the NFL, they have players who are mic'd up.
Oh, Robin Powell. Wasn't it Rodman?
In the NFL, they have players who are mic'd up, but they're saying like things to their teammates and things that are important to the game. Uh-huh. But we were watching cricket, and it was he was mic'd up, and he was talking to the announcers. Like a ball could have been hit his way, and he'd have to go run and catch it. And he's talking about like what his feelings about his team's chances this year, and like.
And he sounded like that was Robin Powell. I laugh every time they do that because it sounds like he's like, "Please shut up! I'm trying to pay attention to the game."
I'm playing in the world's largest stage of cricket here, and you're asking me about like, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I can't imagine, Tom Brady with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Trying to make the playoffs, and the announcer's like, "So Tom, tell us about Giselle. I hear your marriage might be on the rocks."
My gosh. Yeah, I think that's hilarious. That's one of the two weird things about this season that I'd like to know more about.
That's the other one, the cheerleaders?
The other one is the cheerleaders. Every match, if you've been watching, has three cheerleaders in a little cage. And I seriously, if you are in India and you know any of these cheerleaders, or if you are one of the cheerleaders and you're a listener.
Or if you know how we can become one of these cheerleaders.
fantasyIPLpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out because I really want to know their story. How did they end up at...
None of them are Indian. I mean, there's a few teams that, like, they are Indian.
I would be willing to bet this house that they are American. Because who else
American?
Has... American? Who
They're
else?
British, for sure.
No, British, they don't have cheerleaders. For our British listeners out there, fantasyIPLpodcast@gmail.com. Do you have cheerleaders?
Or if you are one of the cheerleaders.
Or if you are one.
And you're listening to this podcast.
But yeah, I am wondering. I would love to have an interview where we get to talk to one of them and find out just how they ended up. How they ended up going from, like, cheering at Oklahoma State... to cheering at Chinnaswamy in Bangalore, to a sold-out crowd of crazy Royal Challengers fans.
And why there's three?
Because that's new. That wasn't happening last year. Last year, all they had was that car that they were trying to hit
the
everybody.
Tata. Now we're... Yeah. But they have the virtual fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen that this year.
And last year and the year before...
Is that
Mark had a projector, and we would take it to my garage, and we put up a sheet on the shelving that covered all my tools and all my junk, and we'd put up the game, or we'd put up the match, excuse me, and we'd watch it, and it would show a bunch of bozos like us, probably not quite as much bozos as we are, watching the game, cheering on Zoom or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe it's a product of COVID, and everybody using Zoom.
Now I'm starting to think that,
And I was like, man, those bozos could be us in my garage. And I'd just love to be one of those virtual fans.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that happen? Would you rather be, because I have seen, who was it? I know Chennai's cheerleaders are all female, but I think it might have been DC. They had a male dancer out there.
Oh, really?
As one of the cheerleaders. So, Mark, would you rather be one of the virtual fans, you and your bros, cheering for the game on the big screen, virtual? Or would you rather get season tickets out there dressed in Gujarat Titan? Or are you
one of the Gujarat girls?
So would you rather be a Gujarat girl or one of the virtual fans? But keep in mind, the Gujarat girls get season tickets.
But you have to spend every match in that cage. I don't know.
I would be a Gujarat girl. I'm an engineer, but I would be a Goudreau girl before I'm an engineer.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. I think I'd probably turn down the Goudreau girl job, assuming that it gets paid the same as the virtual fan.
But you get season tickets.
Yeah, season tickets. But again, you have to spend but every it's match. Hot.
But what was the match today? I think.
Oh, it was like 104 Fahrenheit,
which is incredible to me. Ooh. Because I so. We live in a place that's pretty dry, but I imagine many places in India have a lot of humidity. Not. Like,
well, they talk about the dew affecting the pitch so much.
And there was not one match that we thought, what did you say? It looked like it was in the upside down. There were so many bugs swarming all around. That it's
the bugs. That was amazing to me.
Like the upside down in Stranger Things.
Uh-huh. That's what it looked like. There's little fleas floating around everywhere if you watch Stranger Things. If you haven't, you should, because it's really good.
And then we laughed about it, and then the very next day, my wife and I went out to dinner, and they were showing a baseball game. I think the baseball game was in the South, it was in Alabama or something. It was not MLB.
No.
Same thing, though. There were just bugs like crazy.
Really? I guess because football, I mean, most of my sports watching experience is football, and it's in the fall. When there's not going to be bugs, and especially in places like Cincinnati and Buffalo, where it's cold.
Where do you think the coldest one is? I mean, Delhi's pretty north.
Yeah, I would guess Punjab, because they play pretty close to the foothills of the Himalayas. So we have the, I have the schedule pulled up here. Brett, is there anything that jumps out to you as, like, this is the match that you should invest in? First thing is that Rajasthan, who we just talked about is kind of being the favorite for fantasy this year, plays almost back-to-back. So tomorrow, that is in a few hours, Rajasthan plays Gujarat, and we covered that in the last episode, Whit and I did. So hopefully you were listening and you know who you're going to play for that. But I would say definitely go heavy on Rajasthan if you weren't already, because they turn around again in three matches.
Yeah, match 23 and match 26.
And that's Rajasthan. That's not Hyderabad turning around in three matches. We're talking about the best.
So, talking about Hyderabad, they have, like, the Orange Army. It seems like... So, one thing about this is that we are not influenced by nostalgia or growing up and having decades of... Or, I guess the league isn't that long. But, you know, we aren't influenced by the history of the league. We only know the last few years, so I think in some ways that's an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Hyderabad is one team that there's the Orange Army people love, but as far as we've been playing the fantasy cricket, they've been pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Have they ever been very good? And the first few matches, no, they were
like, I don't think they've made the playoffs since we started playing.
Yeah, and so it's interesting to us because... You know, Dhoni is a person that we talk about that everybody loves. And when we first started playing, we didn't have that history. So to us, he was kind of like a washed up, why would you put him in your fantasy lineup?
Yeah.
And the Sunrisers, again, it's like everybody loves them, but I'm not going to play them in fantasy because I've only been doing this for a couple of years and they're terrible. But the last match, I'd say that was the surprise of the season.
That was Sunrisers. Are you talking about the Sunrisers match versus KKR?
Because I think I looked it up. They were averaging about 130-some points.
Mm-hmm.
And then match 19 against KKR, they scored about 100 points above their average.
The highest of the year so far.
It was pretty incredible.
Because KKR is not a team that going into that match, I would have said, oh yeah, their batting lineup is crazy good. They're going to score so many runs. And they haven't in their previous matches. I mean, looking back, they don't have any of those like big star hitters. Their first match, they only scored 146. And then suddenly they come out against Sunrisers, who they put up that score of 228 that's almost impossible to match. But then, Nitish Rana scores the 75, and then Rinku Singh, who's just crazy this year, scores 50, and they made it to 205. I mean, I bet, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I bet if that 205 would have won 75% of the matches.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't think a lot of that comes down to the wickets, and I wonder if it's like the T20 matchup where the lower scores, I think you have fewer wickets, but when there's a team that has a big number to chase, people are swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
But like I said, they've only had one match where somebody didn't do 20 overs that they got out on wickets. Yeah. And so in the match that you just mentioned where they're chasing the Sunrisers, that big number, they did have seven wickets. So people are swinging for the fences.
And the bowlers... It's
kind of interesting because it seems like...
The Sunrisers bowlers know that, too. They know that KKR can hit a bunch of fours and sixes and still not win.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how much that affects their... the way they bowl. That they bowl in such a way that it's like they're going for the wickets. They're not... They don't care. Okay, so who cares if Nitish Rana scores 75 runs? Because he needs 95 to win. And if he's even at the end, like, it didn't matter how many they hit. They weren't going to get it. I mean, Rinku wasn't going to pull off his miracle over twice in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually thinking, looking forward, let's see. We've already talked about tomorrow's matches, so we're going to skip those and move forward to the matches that, if you're listening, are tomorrow to you, which is Tuesday. So we're talking about Sunrisers in Mumbai. And then on Wednesday, Rajasthan plays Lucknow. Thursday, there's actually a doubleheader, which pay attention to that. If you're in a fantasy league, I'm guessing a lot of people are going to get caught off guard by that doubleheader in the middle of the week. Unfortunately, as sort of the de facto commish, I have to tell people that.
So that's one thing that I love to do as kind of the asshole of our league.
But just before you get into being the asshole, then the last one we'll talk about is Friday. The Super Kings play Sunrisers. So anyway, go ahead.
So what I love to do is there are players that everybody has on their squad. Josh Butler, DeJuan if he's playing. You know, there are some folks, Andre Russell.
Dyquad. Everybody's having. Yep. Everybody, especially the uncaps. This year especially, it seems like there's a few uncaps that are great and then a bunch that are just garbage. But, like, everyone always – I don't even bother. Like, Rinku Singh, Tilak Varma, Sai Sudarsan. Like, everybody's going to have those guys. You just have to pick them up because everyone's going
to
have them.
You got to hedge your bets. Like, if Josh Butler is playing, you have to have him as your captain because everybody's going to have him as your captain. And if he's garbage, who cares? Everybody is
– Yeah.
Got him as a captain, but if he goes off and you don't, then you're gonna miss out. So what I love to do is be like, and maybe this is less applicable for any listeners closer to India.
Yeah.
But in the United States, people are looking at the IPL website, people are looking at Google, people are actually watching the match on Willow, and there's a lag kind of between the different matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I love, like, oh, damn it. Like, DeJuan gets the duck when he gets up, even if he doesn't, because people are like, what? Because, you know, they just assume that they're behind in the matches.
And I don't know why, because Eric watches on Willow, and I watch on Willow, but somehow he always hears stuff before me.
Yeah, there's always a lag because people are getting their information from different sources, so you can kind of fool people and be like, oh, wow, another six for Dhoni, even if it doesn't happen, people will get all, kind of frustrated about it. So actually, during the week, I want to say, and I do this every year, like, oh, man, I can't believe I missed the morning match, like the early match. I didn't see that there was a doubleheader. And then people freak out because they think they didn't set their lineup for the doubleheader, even if there wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of throws people for a loop. But this Thursday, I guess, pay attention because usually the doubleheaders happen on the weekend. And not in this time.
Yeah, we talked about that on a previous podcast where you had said something. You're like, oh, I can't believe Josh got a duck right away. And, like, within 6 seconds, I was on our WhatsApp chat.
don't listen to her if it didn't actually happen because I'm so used to you doing that. But I think most people in the league, I mean, Eric's the only one who's been in the league for as long as I have.
So if you're looking at these matches coming up, these five right here, is there one that you just want to say, no thanks, I'm just going to play my uncapped and try to cut my losses?
So Sunrisers were such garbage starting the season, but they've got some players back, right? So maybe...
Yeah, Markham's been good. Harry Brook.
Mm-hmm. Who is Harry Brook?
He hit the century. He's first century of the year. And he was one of the guys that was picked up for a lot of money in the auction this year and hasn't performed so far.
Did you ever wish you were picked up for a lot of money and it didn't really matter how well you performed?
Yes. Yes, I do wish I was Sam Curran.
I love Sam Curran.
You were Sam Curran's biggest fan.
Is Tim Curran... So his brother was also in the league last year. I assume he is this year, but just doesn't really play.
I haven't seen his name.
Tim, right?
Though Sam Curran has switched from you to me because I've played him as my captain like almost every time he comes up. Captain or vice captain, he's there because he's one of the few people now with this impact player role where he actually gets 3 to 4 overs and he bats in like the first six. He's one of the few all rounders that's actually still an all rounder. This match he finally hit and got 3 wickets, and it's the first time though that he's had a good outing, and he is the highest paid player in the league.
Sam Curran was my boy for a long time, but now he's not a super king, so he can go to hell.
Nice.
Also, nice. Sam Curran, the thing that I find the most interesting about cricket is that there are players who look like professional athletes. So when you look at MLB players or you look at NBA players or NFL players, because we're, you know, in the U.S.,
There's players who look like professional athletes, and then there's Yuzvendra Chahal.
And Sam Curran.
Sam Curran. Yeah.
And it's incredible because you'll see Sam Curran or Chahal who look like they need to eat a little more protein and track their macros a little closer. Yeah. And they'll be bowling against Pollard last year or Dre Russ or... Faf, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those guys, they track their macros.
You can tell. Yeah, dude, who is it? Glenn Maxwell. He comes out there, or Faf with the tats. I mean, between
Cole... What did you say about the announcers talking about Faf's tats?
Oh, yeah. Dude, if you did not listen to the last Rail Challengers match, not the very last one, because Faf kind of was a dud on that one, but the... Before that, they were just going on about how great Faf looked with his tattoos and his big muscles.
And then there's Chahal, who's got to weigh like 122 pounds when he's got sand in his pockets. And his clothes are wet.
Chahalwood!
But even this year, like, he is somebody who I love to root for because of how unathletic he looks, but how well he performs.
Yeah, he's a boss.
And it's not even like luck. Like, he's got a streak. Like, he is consistent.
Yeah.
If you don't start him...
He's always in the purple cap runnings.
Mm-hmm. And it's like...
And he won last year.
I bet he averages 2 wickets, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more than that, averaging 2 wickets from anybody. I mean, anybody can get more than 2, but... Yeah, I think I got more wickets on my match today than I've ever gotten in a... Because I had Sam Curran, who had 3. Bishnoi had 2. And Wood had 2. So I got 7 wickets today. I don't know if I've ever gotten 7 wickets in one fantasy match before. So I have another question. Do you have a preference when you captain and vice-captain for wicketkeepers, batters, all-rounders, or bowlers?
Yeah.
I almost never captain bowlers. Because it's like, if they get a wicket, they're awesome. If they don't get a wicket, it's nothing.
I used to like all-rounders, but they're kind of garbage this year because of the subs.
Yeah.
And I kind of take a look at, so today, or was it yesterday, Dre Russ.
Yeah, he finally hit.
I usually captain or vice captain him, but I didn't because he hadn't been bowling.
Yeah, this is the first time he bowled.
He'd get subbed out. And so it's like, if somebody's going to bowl and hit, I usually like to captain or vice captain them because maybe they have a good day bowling, maybe they have a good day batting. And you kind of hedge your bets a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I didn't put Dre Russ because he hadn't been bowling for a while. And he actually bowled and I think he got...
3 wickets.
He got 3 wickets.
In 2 overs. 3 wickets, 2 overs. Oh now, do you think going forward that Rana is going to have him bowl more? I mean, the dude, he obviously made it clear that he can do it.
He's made it clear that he can just like... score a zillion points.
Mm-hmm.
And his like efficiency is great. It's not like I think Warner scores a lot of points, but he gets ones and twos and fours and sixes, but kind
three,
of like
350s, 0 sixes.
Yeah,
it's almost incredible how slow he goes.
It's so slow. And I think that Mark, you and I have talked about this and previously is like mm-hmm. Andre Russell, I think he is our IPL fantasy league favorite. Maybe he doesn't score the most points, but we just all love him.
Yeah, as a league. Yeah.
As a league, we love him.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he bats like sixth. And it's like, okay, well, you know, we kind of got Andre Russell. We need to get like 50 points and we got so many balls left. And he just hits like a million sixes in a row and fours in a row and he just scores a million points. Sometimes he gets a duck, but you know, everybody gets a duck. And he scores a lot of points. And we wonder, like, why not just stick him first in the batting order or second in the batting order?
Just have him do that?
And just have him, like, win the match for you. And same thing when he bowls. Like, he scores or he gets a lot of wickets, but it's almost like they don't want to, like, we got to save him. We got to save this guy.
I'm guessing that's more to do with us not understanding the fine points of cricket.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. I think a good kind of case study of that is Kyle Mayers. Because he typically bats in international cricket, etc. Bats in the middle order. He'll bat 4, 5, 6. But because Quentin de Kock has been out, they've been batting him at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he does what you just talked about. He doesn't lay off at the top. He just slams the ball. And I think, what have they played, 5 matches now? And he's been good for 3 of them, for fantasy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do kind of wonder if they just started off with Dre Russ.
They'd give him 4 overs, put him 2nd in the batting order.
Yeah. Like, what does it matter if he gets out? Because sometimes... I think the freedom you get when you're at the end of the batting lineup is you can just crank it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have to worry about getting out because who cares? There's just 2 overs left anyway. But what's the difference if you put him at the top of the order and, okay, most of the time he's going to hit it for 30 or 40 or something. Every now and then he'll get out. He'll get a duck or he'll get 3 or 4, whatever he got in his last match. Okay, so you just move on to, I mean, who's Lucknow's third up?
But sometimes I wonder, like, recently in basketball with Steph Curry, folks have kind of figured out 3 points are worth more than 2 points. And teams are shooting a ton of 3-pointers, and people are getting really good at shooting 3-pointers.
Yeah.
The percentage is going up.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of changed the game.
I don't even know basketball that well, and I know that that's been happening.
And you look at the scores, and the scores are really high. And the thing I think I alluded to earlier is nobody's getting out on over, or nobody's getting out on wickets. You know, teams are being, you got the David Warners who are scoring 60 runs, but they're doing it on 40 balls.
Yep.
And to me, and this is a fantasy podcast, it's not a cricket strategy podcast. And
yeah. I've
understood this sport.
So Warner, listen to your coaches, Mr. Warner, please.
Look at your
don't listen to
don't
us.
Don't listen to us. But you know, I've only been following this for a couple of years, but to me, it's like, why aren't you putting your best batters up and cranking it? And when teams score 150 and that's what they have to chase, the other team's scoring about 150. Yeah. And you look at the wickets, there's like three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a team scores 220 with four wickets, the next team, they scored 210. And they go through eight wickets. But they still don't even get out. And so to me, I almost wonder, like, why not just try to crank it the whole time? Get a bunch of people who can hit sixes, but also get ducks. But who cares? Because you get 9 wickets, 10 wickets.
That would be an interesting thing to see statistics applied to. Like, with the whole... what I'm thinking of is a book I read where one of the chapters was titled Miss More Flights. With the point of the chapter was that people show up to their airport too early and they spend too much time at the airport. And if they actually look at the number of minutes they spend at the airport versus if they showed up 20 minutes later every time, maybe they would miss one out of 30 flights. And with the amount of time they save, though, 30 times 20 minutes, I don't know, that's a lot of minutes. 600, I think. You save a lot of time that you could be productive, you could be making money, or you could just be living your life and having fun. So I wonder if there is like a tipping point, like a money ball kind of thing where, okay, every now and then, if you just bat for the fences every time, you're gonna get 10 wickets and you'll be out with 49 runs.
Or like...
Hashtag RCB.
Or maybe you get 16 overs, right? And you get out because on wickets. But if everybody's batting for the fences.
But yeah, what I'm saying is maybe every now and then that happens and you miss a game. But if that happens once every 8 games and the other 7 games, you're...
250.
Yeah, you're scoring 250 and nobody can keep up with you. Then, okay, you're still going to win the championship every year. And maybe, okay, the championship game where statistics don't matter. You just have to win that game. Then you play a little more conservative if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like there's some college teams.
As a fantasy player, I would love for that to start happening.
Well, also because if somebody's swinging for the fences full time, you know, every time even your bowlers, the bowlers on the other side are going to have pretty nice days too.
All right. So we're coming up against the hour. I guess let's finish it up with just a kind of fun question. Try to set aside your Super Kings super fandom at the moment. Is what team going forward from here forward are you kind of most excited or intrigued to see what happens and watch the matches and is interesting?
I kind of think the Sunrisers because they had a big match last match.
Yeah, huge.
They're garbage before that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they got a lot of players back, right? And that's maybe why they had so many, why they had so much success.
Yeah, they got Aiden Markram back, their captain, which, I mean, the first match he was in, I think he got out for a duck. But as a captain, it seems like he's at least helping right the ship. They have a great bowling lineup. It's one thing to have the batters. The teams like Lucknow or Rajasthan, who has these great batters. I mean, Rajasthan has great bowlers too, but Sunrisers seems to win more often on their bowling, which I think is maybe not the more exciting half of the game, but it is like seems like the more.
It's like defense wins championships, but everybody likes to watch offense score a lot of points.
Yeah, which is kind of nice about fantasy IPL is that you score a lot of points on the defense and the offense, not just the offense. Mine is, without a doubt, the Knight Riders. This year, they just seem like the scrappy underdogs. They've got like Nitish Rana, he's the captain. He was uncapped 2 years ago. He was like the uncapped gem. He was the Rinku Singh 2 years ago. And the fact, I know they lost the last match, but against the Sunrisers. But they put up like 200 plus points. They were close.
But again, because they had to shoot for that. And we're talking about...
Yeah. Two 16 overs in, they had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It really was when Rana got out,
was then kind of things just went downhill. Like Thacker the Smacker was not able to do his thing and bring it home. But I just feel like when they started the season, Witt and I talked about that they seemed like the team that just had nothing going for them. Shreyas Iyer was out on injury, and like Dre Russ was their big star, but the first couple of matches he did nothing. But then they managed that big comeback against Gujarat, and now they're 2-2, which puts them firmly in the middle. I liken them to the Mighty Ducks, which is a terrible name.
Who's Iceland? Who's Team Iceland?
Who's Team Iceland? Well, that's Witt right now, the jerk. He's probably soaking in a... Oh, wait, what time is it? Okay, he's probably getting up and getting dressed to go soak in a hot spring. The Blue Lagoon. Yeah. But, yeah, I can't wait to see KK. I mean, like, if they could make it to the championship, if they can make it into the playoffs, they're going to win because they're the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Mighty Ducks don't lose.
I don't believe this. Okay, so I have lightning round, three questions.
Okay.
Do you think Vegas has odds that you could go down and bet on who do you think is going to win IPL? And so that's question one.
Yes, I do think. I mean, it's Vegas. Of course they do.
Question two is, who's got the best odds? Who's got the worst?
Do you want me to answer right now?
Yes.
I would guess that the Rajasthan has the best odds.
I don't know. Gujarat and LSG, even though they're new, I feel like they're pretty...
Well, if you look at the standings right now, you'll notice the top three teams were the top three teams
last year. The Capitals haven't won a match.
They're 0-5.
They're good.
I will stay right now. I will stand on my soapbox and say they're not going to win a match until Warner grows the mustache back.
That is the biggest surprise to me, because I would say, looking at the league, the Sunrisers, to me, are the worst team until they can prove me otherwise. And they are, I don't know, they have two wins.
I can already see our Twitter post is going to be, the Sunrisers are the worst team until they can prove me otherwise. Hashtag Orange Army.
Oh my gosh.
No, I think, I mean, to me, the Mumbai and the Capitals have been like the most hapless kind of adrift teams. But historically speaking, DC has been, they're always at the top of the standings, at least since we started. This is the first year we've seen them at the bottom. Mumbai was pretty bad last year. If I had to say the team at the bottom of the standings in Vegas, I mean, well, now it's probably DC. At the beginning of the year, I would have said Kolkata. Here's a question. 10 years from now, mm-hmm. we're still playing Fantasy IPL. The podcast is, of course, millions of listens. Mm-hmm. Who do you think, playing right now, will be the closest thing to Dhoni? Playing right now, 10 years from now, let's just say Dhoni, Kohli, all the guys that are like from the past 10 years, huge, are gone.
Mm-hmm. Whew. I don't know. Who do you think?
I mean, in fairness, we know the right answer is there is never going to be another Dhoni. We know that's the right answer. Trick question. Who do I think? I mean, you brought up Shubman Gill. He's still pretty young. I think he's starting to get into the highlight of his career.
But does he have the leadership role? Or is he just kind of swinging there for the fences?
What do you think about that? I mean, there's a few new captains this year. What about Nitish Rana or Aiden Markham?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so I guess anything else to add? I know this has been a bit unusual podcast, so thanks for bearing with us. We're trying some new things. Witt will be back next week. Brett, do you have any closing words for our audience?
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Hopefully this episode wasn't a total disaster, but...
All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.